All right, in this lesson we're going to build a proper immense style pad riser enabled in Live 12, and we're doing it the DNB way, with breakbeat surgery, atmosphere, and tension. This is a beginner lesson, but the technique is seriously useful. Instead of using a generic synth sweep, we're taking a classic breakbeat and turning it into a moving pad that feels gritty, musical, and full of momentum. That means when your drop hits, it feels earned. So the goal here is to create a 2-bar, 4-bar, or even 8-bar riser made from an amen break that starts dark and narrow, then opens up, gets brighter, gets wider, and pushes the track toward impact. First, load your breakbeat into Ableton and set your tempo somewhere around 172 BPM. That sits right in the sweet spot for jungle and drum and bass, and it'll make your edits feel natural. Turn warp on, and if you're aiming for tighter drum control, start with beats mode. If you want the break to stretch more smoothly later, Complex Pro can be really helpful. Don't worry about perfection yet. We're just getting the break into the session and finding a section with a strong kick and snare relationship, because that's going to give our pad some identity later on. Now comes the surgery part. Right-click the break and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. If the break has clean transients, slice by transient. If it's messy, or if you want more hands-on control, slice by 1/8 or 1/16. Ableton will put the slices into a drum rack, which is great, because now you can trigger pieces of the break with MIDI instead of manually cutting audio all day. At this point, don't try to rebuild the full amen pattern. That's not the mission. We're looking for useful fragments. Grab a kick slice, a snare slice, a couple of ghost hits, maybe the hat or noisy tail if it has one. The idea is to create a texture, not a full drum loop. A really useful beginner approach is to keep it sparse. Put one or two hits in the first bar, then slightly more activity in the second bar. Think of it like a breath that gets more urgent as it goes. Leave gaps between notes. That space is what lets the texture breathe and stop it from sounding like a busy fill. And a good teacher tip here. Move a few notes slightly off the grid if the groove starts feeling too robotic. DNB loves precision, but it also loves human microrhythm. That chop-top, slightly uneven feel is part of what makes an amen break sound alive. Now let's turn that rhythmic thing into a pad. If you're working with auto, duplicate the break onto a new track and try warping it with Complex Pro. Stretch the clip so it lasts longer, maybe 2 or 4 bars, and add tiny fades at the start and end so it doesn't click awkwardly. If one little section of the break has a nice smear or tonal tail, loop that and let it become the atmosphere. If you're staying inside drum rack, you can still get there by adding effects after it. Start with reverb, echo, and auto filter. The reverb should be fairly big, but not so huge that it washes everything into mush. A large size, moderate dry/wet, and a little pre-delay can help the break feel spacious while still keeping some attack. Echo with low to medium feedback gives you a nice trailing movement, especially if you use a dotted eighth or quarter note time. Now put auto filter after the break texture. This is where the riser motion really happens. Start with a low pass filter and set the cutoff fairly low, somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. That gives you a dark opening. Then automate the cutoff to rise over the last 2, 4, or 8 bars. As the cutoff opens, the break starts to feel brighter, more urgent, and closer to the drop. That's the key idea here. We're not making the break faster, we're making it feel like it's climbing. If you want a more anxious, tighter sound, try bandpass instead of lowpass. That can give the riser a more focused, tunnel-like character, which works really well in darker rollers and neuro-influenced tracks. Next, add some controlled grit. A saturator can bring out harmonics and make the texture feel more aggressive without totally destroying it. Keep it subtle at first. A small amount of drive and soft clipping can make a big difference. Then use echo for a bit of space and motion, and reverb to push the sound back and make it feel bigger. One really effective beginner trick is to automate the saturator drive slightly upward in the last bar. It doesn't need to be dramatic. Even a small increase in harmonic intensity can make the final part of the riser feel more charged. Now we clean up the low end, because this part matters a lot in drum and bass. Put EQ8 after the effects and high pass the riser somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz. That keeps it out of the way of your kick and sub. If the break gets harsh around the snare area, make a small cut in the upper mids. If it feels boxy, reduce some of the low mids. This is one of those DNB lessons that pays off immediately. Your transition elements should support the drop, not compete with it. If the pad has too much low end, your drop will feel smaller. If you clean it properly, the drop hits harder. If you want to widen it, use utility and keep an eye on the stereo width. A riser can start narrower and become wider as it builds. That makes the transition feel like it's opening up physically, which is a really nice psychoacoustic trick. Just make sure the low end is gone before you start getting too wide. Now automate the whole thing like a proper transition. Over the build, gradually open the filter, increase the reverb or echo slightly, and maybe bring the volume up by a decibel or two if needed. You can even automate the echo feedback in the last half beat or last beat, then cut it suddenly so the drop lands clean. That abrupt stop can be super effective. Sometimes silence or near silence right before the drop makes the impact feel twice as hard. A nice arrangement idea is this. Start the riser 8 bars before the drop, keep it dark at first. Then open it more in the last 4 bars, and make the final bar the most intense. If your track is more jungle-flavored, you can lean into the break rhythm and keep it more obvious. If it's more rollers or darker liquid, make the rise smoother and more subtle. Now listen to it in context with your drums and bass. Mute the kick and sub for a moment and hear the riser on its own. Then bring the low end back in and check whether the transition still feels clear. The riser should create tension without stealing focus from the actual drop. If the riser sounds cool alone but ruins the drop, simplify it. That's a really important producer instinct to build early. The question is always, does this make the first hit of the drop feel bigger? Here are a few common mistakes to watch out for. If the riser has too much low end, high pass it more aggressively. If it feels too busy, remove some slices and leave more space. If the reverb is washing everything out, reduce the wet amount and maybe only automate the big tail at the end. If the riser isn't actually rising, automate more than one thing. Filter cutoff alone is often not enough. Add saturation, echo, and maybe a little volume movement too. And if the snare gets piercing, tame it with EQ8 instead of just turning the whole thing down. Now, if you want to go a little further, here are some very useful derivations. You can duplicate the pad and reverse one copy very quietly underneath the main one. That creates a sucking in sensation that works great before a drop. You can also split the build into two stages. Start with a darker, more rhythmic version, then move into a brighter, wider, more washed out second stage. That feels more natural than one flat automation curve. Another strong move is using two filter movements at once. Maybe one layer is opening with a low pass filter, while another layer is moving through a band pass. That creates a more complex sense of unfolding. And if you want a more rugged underground texture, resample the result once you like it. Bounce it to audio, chop it again, reverse parts of it, and process it a second time. A lot of the best DNB transition sounds come from that extra pass. So here's the big takeaway. An Amen-style pad riser is basically breakbeat energy turned into atmosphere. It's rhythmic, gritty, and emotional at the same time. It keeps the DNA of the break alive while turning it into a transition tool that pushes your arrangement forward. If you keep it dark at the start, brighter at the end, controlled in the low end, and musically placed against the drop, you'll get a riser that feels very DNB and very effective. For practice, make two versions of the same idea. One should be a smooth 4-bar riser with gentle filtering and light effects. The other should be a heavier 2-bar version, with more aggressive slicing, more echo, and a harder final beat. Compare them and listen for which one leaves more space for the drop. That's the whole game here. Don't just make something that rises. Make something that pulls the track toward impact. Alright, let's build it. Listen critically and make that Amen break work like a proper DNB transition weapon.